singing songs for everyone. Sit beside a mountain stream, see her waters rise. Listen to the pretty sound of music as she flies. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I am so happy to have on the phone with us right now Lindsay Anderson. She is a Minnesota Green Corps member. She's serving the city of Hastings, and we have been chatting with her for many, many months. Her time actually is coming to an end in the not-too-distant future, and we want to get caught up with her and see how everything is going. Welcome, Lindsay. How have you been?
Thanks for having me. I've been pretty good, just learning how to keep doing my stuff here in the new world we have.
Well, it is kind of an odd time for, everybody. So how has the COVID-19 pandemic affected you, please?
Well, I'm working at home. I'm not out in the community as much, but I'm starting to kind of do some different volunteer work and kind of starting to maintain our new organics drop site in town. So I'm happy to kind of get back into a little bit more of a routine here with all of the stuff.
So for people that maybe have forgotten, can you fill us in again about what the Green Corps is?
Yeah, it's an AmeriCorps program. I am doing a year of service with the city of Hastings, and it's kind of focused on environmental initiatives. My main goals are to kind of have outreach and education around recycling and waste reduction and sustainability.
And this has been something that you've been interested in for a while, isn't it?
Yeah. My life has kind of taken me on a winding path trying to figure out the right career, but this is something that I just feel so fortunate to have found. I think that sustainability is something that I really resonate with. It's something that I can really connect to people with. And yeah, having moments where, you can have real personal connection and create a better environment together.
Lindsay, one of the times that we've chatted over the course of the year, you told me about a wedding that you were in, and it's one of my favorite stories. I've told it before to other people. Would you explain how sustainability affected your ability to be in that wedding where you found your dress?
I haven't been in the wedding yet. It's happening in October.
Okay.
Yeah, I have this goal of not buying anything new this year, and I got asked to be a bridesmaid, and so I was like really fretting, like going and buying a bridesmaid's dress because it's something that I'll only wear for, once, and that's, a lot of resources that need to go into, making that clothing piece. So, I got the details from the bride, like we're doing this color and this cut and everything, and I was actually able to find that exact dress in my size online, and yeah, it just ended up working out perfectly. I've saved some money. I saved some resources from being used to produce a brand new dress for me to wear a few times, and yeah, I felt really good about actually like going on that treasure hunt and finding a used version of something that I needed for this event.
I think a lot of times we think about sustainability, we think about our natural resources around us that are more visible, but certainly what you did talking about, thrifting with clothing and stuff, that's a piece of sustainability that we can all do, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's like one of my favorite things when I'm just like kind of talking to people about sustainability and what it means. And I mean, it's something that everybody has the power to do because we all need to buy new things for our own needs. But once we kind of think about it, we don't need to buy them brand new all the time. There's a lot of resources that go into every single item that we own, whether it's paper from a tree and we can clearly see what resources that is and where that comes from, or if it's several plastic components, and we don't see it because we, you know, mine it from underground and do a lot of chemical processing to it and then turn it into the plastic that we use. There's a lot of resources involved with everything. Food items, clothing, anything that we need. So if you can buy it used, it's doing a big favor to the environment by not having to extract new resources and just we already have made.
For somebody that's listening, I mean, I think we know about some of the thrifting stores we can actually physically walk into, but how do you take that on a larger scale level? If somebody wants to do the same thing that you are doing or you did and find a wedding, a bridesmaid dress online somewhere, what are some places you would recommend looking?
Yeah, so I found this one on Poshmark, which is a thrifting app and website. I like it a lot because sometimes I like really specific types of clothing. Like I wear like very specific types of pants because I've just found that they work best for my style and my body. So I will like look up a brand name that I want on there. If you just know down pointing to like in-store thrift shopping, but sometimes it's just like, oh, it's a box of chocolates. You just get what you get. But when you do it online, you can be very specific about it, and people will be like, I have this brand of jeans. And you're like, oh, hello, I want that brand. I would like that. Yeah, you can get it just a little bit more specific. So, yeah, like I said, I use Poshmark. There's other websites like ThredUp, Let Go. You can do all this kind of stuff like on Facebook Marketplace too, Craigslist, eBay. Used items on the internet are awesome, and I think it's a growing industry, honestly.
I do too. So let's talk about what we're going to chat about today, and that is organic recycling.
It's organic recycling. It's a drop site. So what it is, it's located over on the county transportation building off of Highway 47 in town, just across from the Vermilion River. It's a county-city partnership. It's just a little enclosed space with two dumpsters, but the dumpsters are not for trash. They are for organics. So what that is food scraps, unrecyclable paper, so like food soiled, like pizza boxes or tissues. And yeah, you can collect them in your home and then bring it over to the drop site. If you sign up for the program, you'll get a code to get into the enclosure. You drop your stuff, and then you can take a couple free compostable bags with you to collect again for the next time that you will be collecting your food scraps primarily.
So let's get down to the basics. What exactly are we collecting, and how do we collect it? And then once we have it all collected, you're going to, obviously, this drop site is something that's new, and we really want to get the word out for people. But for people that, you know, want to take recycling to another level, is that recycling organic material?
Yeah, it's definitely something that's helpful to kind of separate our waste stream out, because what food scraps provide us is once they break down, they become a really awesome soil additive. So it actually can help plants grow, and that's called compost. So the broken down food scraps with this collection process, it's widely collected around the Twin Cities metro area and then dropped off at an industrial composting place. And they can produce a lot of compost in a shorter amount of time. Some people already are doing something like this, and they can do it in a backyard. So this is just kind of, if you maybe don't have a backyard space or you haven't really been sure how to manage it yourself, so all you do here is you'll just collect your food scraps in a little bin with the compostable bag lining it, and then you can take it over to the drop site as often as you need to. Typical things that are collected, I would say, I guess I'll just talk about my personal compost collection bin. It's primarily coffee grounds and coffee filters, and then like any like veggie scraps, so like onion skins or like banana peels or apple cores, kind of like the pieces of food that we don't typically eat. Those are what kind of end up in mine. So if I'm like cutting up some veggies or peeling some sweet potatoes or something like that, that's kind of what ends up in my food scraps.
So that's good to know. Thank you for telling us about that. We did ask the public to give some questions to you And I think that we got some really good ones. And you mentioned coffee. One of the questions I know was, do coffee filters have to be a specific kind?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. We want to make sure that we're putting the correct material in. So I think asking questions like that is a great thing to do. So I would say that, you know, bleached and unbleached coffee filters are both totally compostable. The way that they're broken down is a really high heat situation, so that doesn't really affect it in any kind of great manner. One thing that, if you have any kind of unique coffee makers, like then maybe they have a cloth filter or a plastic filter, I would not put those in your compost because those are typically reusable and you won't need to dispose of them anyways. But yeah, any type of coffee filter, like a traditional paper one, those can all be composted.
When you say a bleached one, is that the white ones?
Yep.
So that's just normal coffee paper, filter paper, but it's bleached a white color?
Correct.
Oh.
Yep, there's also brown ones that are made, and those are typically the unbleached ones. Sometimes made out of recycled material. There's lots of different labels that people will put on coffee filters, but if they're made out of paper, you can compost them.
Well, that's good to know. Here's another question, and I actually want you to explain the question because I don't even understand the question, let alone you're going to tell us the answer. The question is it okay to place 2 or 3 full green bags into a brown paper bag and toss that into the dumpster? These green bags are great, but they leak easily. Can you explain that to our listeners, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned before, in our enclosure, there is a like roll of green compostable bags for residents to take to collect their food scraps in. They are allowed to take 2. It's an honor system thing. Two is really all you'll want to have because you won't want to fill up, you know, 2 or 3. That might be what makes sense for your collection and your family and stuff. But I wouldn't do any more than that. But yeah, so you collect the food scraps in these compostable bags. And the resident that asked that question is right. Sometimes they do leak, especially if they get wet. So like by me putting in my coffee filters with coffee grounds in it every morning, that actually gets my compostable bags pretty wet, and I often have them leak into my bags. So they're asking if it's okay if they tie up their green compostable bags full of food scraps and haul it over to the drop site in a brown paper bag. And I think that's totally fine if you want to do it that way. Paper bags are totally compostable. I think that is a great way if that's your method. There's also many other ways to approach this, though. I personally leave my bags in my bins until I bring it to the drop site, and then I just kind of tie it up quick and then dump it in. And usually there's a little bit of liquid that pours out of the bin as I'm dumping it in. Another way to kind of prevent that kind of situation is not letting it sit out for very long to absorb the liquid. So if you put the foods, like if you fill up your bag, you can put your food scraps in the freezer so they stay solid and won't be leaking or causing any smells or anything in your kitchen. And then when you're ready to bring it to the drop site, you can always just take it there. I use a 2-bin rotation system. So I have the one that I got from the county, and then I also purchased my own bin. So it takes me about a week to fill up one bin with a bag in it. Then I put that one outside and just keep it out there. And then the next week I fill up my second bin. And then every 2 weeks I bring both of my bins over. So yeah, there's a lot of different things that you can do to kind of mitigate that. But I think the main question was, you know, are paper bags okay to put in there? And the answer is yes. And how do we prevent leaking? And the answer to that one would be you could store in the fridge. You could just keep it in the bin the entire time. Things like that.
So one of the questions I know that people have is, you kind of mentioned it, obviously if we're keeping food scraps around, there can be some smells, and then that attracts sometimes bugs. How do we prevent that, please?
Yeah. So the freezer method is probably going to be the most effective in that, even just keeping, I don't know what kind of freezer space people have, but if you have the space, just maybe even keeping maybe like an ice cream pail in your freezer and adding food scraps to that over time, and that will mitigate all the smells, it will mitigate all the bugs because they won't be able to get the nutrients to live if the food is frozen. Another way is if you don't have a county bin, you can buy a bin that has a like little carbon filter, or charcoal filter, sorry, a charcoal filter that goes in the lid. My non-county bin has one of those, and that helps a little bit for smells getting out. I do see some little fruit flies and little larvae that are in my bin. They don't really bother me too much. I just kind of open and close my bin really, really quick to not let them out. And the longer you let your food scraps sit out, though, in your home or even outside, the longer it will give the time for the little fruit flies and their little larvae to develop. So don't let it sit out for like a month. You'll have a little bit of a bug problem. But if you just kind of keep an eye on it and you start to notice it getting buggy, just, you know, say, hey, I'm going to take this to the drop site today. Or, you know, if you want to prevent that altogether, keeping it in the freezer is a good solution.
What does happen to all that food waste afterwards, please?
Yep. So it's part of the Dakota County Organics Drop Site Program. So we are the 5th drop site open in Dakota County, and so they have contracted a waste hauler company to come and pick up all of the dumpsters, and they have a special like garbage truck devoted to food waste. These trucks will go down to the mulch store, which is just a little south and west of Hastings. They have an industrial composting site there, and what that is they have space devoted to composting food scraps, and they do it at a very, very large scale. Dakota County is not the only county that uses them as their composting facility, but it gets laid out in big rows, and then it gets air pumped into it because the food needs oxygen to break down and turn into compost. And they also keep it at a high heat level because of all of the different breaking down processes. It produces a lot of heat, so that actually helps expedite it. And after a couple months, we will get healthy compost and are able to, you can purchase it from them. Sometimes like county road projects will use it to stop water from getting onto roadways when they're building up the sides of the highways and stuff. There's a lot of cool uses for compost that people and industry and businesses can do with it.
Fascinating stuff, and we want to thank our guest, Lindsay Anderson. She is with the Minnesota Green Corps, and she is serving the city of Hastings on her mission to help us do our best to get recycling, to get composting, and all kinds of other great things. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for chatting with us today. And you are listening.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.